Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Jennifer Jaworski, and I'm a social worker with Adoption Associates of Michigan. This is Adoption Associates' premier talk radio blog show. Adoption Associates and its staff are trusted leaders in adoption, and we have placed well over 5,000 children into loving homes. Since 1990, we have advocated, supported, and nurtured both birth families and adoptive families, and helping families and birth mothers grow through the adoption process is very important to us. Our offices are located in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and Saginaw, and our pregnancy and adoption services are available throughout all of Michigan. One of Adoption Associates' commitments is to this weekly radio show, so thank you so much for listening in today. We hope that you'll find this forum to be inspirational, educational, and thought-provoking. If you'd like to call in during the show today, we would encourage questions or comments at 347-850-1100. Again, we'd love to hear from you if you'd like to call in during today's show at 347-850-1100. I'm very excited today to be speaking with Chris Dickens. Chris, are you with us?
I am. Thank you for having me, Jen.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Absolutely.
So today we are talking about adoption. So before we get into all of that, though, for our listeners, could you just open up by sharing a little bit about yourself and your connection to adoption?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My claim to fame is actually I'm a mom by adoption. I have two beautiful children, two beautiful girls. Our oldest daughter was born to us, and she is 17 years old. And we completed our family through adoption by bringing our daughter, who's now 13, home when she was 10 months old. And so that was over 12 years ago. And it has been, our family is exactly the way I know it was supposed to be. And that journey to adoption and the journey to completing our family led me to continue my social work career in the field of adoption. So now I get to help other families with their journey and walk next to them and side by side through their process and their journey into their forever children. And it often doesn't feel like a job. It feels more like a calling and just something that I am thrilled and honored to be a part of.
Absolutely. And we are thrilled and honored that you are not only on our staff, but that you, again, are with us today to talk about this topic. So thanks for giving us a little insight and sharing about yourself. I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and get started, if you would, with some background information about this issue. And the issue for today, or the topic, if you will, is talking with children about adoption. Give us maybe a historical view or some kind of background on this particular issue.
Absolutely, absolutely. Talking to our children about adoption is a critical piece to this journey. And years ago, in past decades, it wasn't common to tell children that they were adopted until adulthood or at all. It was more of the mindset that records were sealed and kept secret to protect children from scandal or scrutiny or judgment. And that was historically, you know, how things were done. Today, thankfully, it is a very different. Today, we encourage and empower our adoptive families to be honest and share their child's adoption story from the very beginning and really embrace that, help their children embrace that. And through the years, we have learned that that's a healthy way to approach, you know, a piece of this journey and to do that from the very beginning and as early as possible.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you touched on a good point there, you know, the historical viewpoint and bringing us forward to the present. Can we just take a second to talk about why we believe this to be important. I know a lot of couples that are considering adoption and coming to our agency often ask that question, and maybe this is new information for someone that's listening as well. You touched on that a little bit about it being healthy, but let's delve into why, for the sake of our children, it's important that we talk with them about adoption.
Absolutely. Well, feelings about, you know, children come to us and come to us in our families at all different ages, all different ways, all different paths. And for children that are brought into families who are older, you know, they have, many of them have memories living with their birth families. And that's more for the international side of things, but those need to be validated and embraced. And that's our job as parents to help do that. But in a general term, feelings about being adopted, you know, influence a child's sense of self-worth and esteem. And it's our job as parents to help nurture that and to move them forward so they can feel good about, you know, about who they are, about how they came into the family. And it sounds vague, but a child's self-esteem and self-worth and how it's connected to their adoption story is crucial, and it's significant.
Sure.
And that is one of the most important reasons why we have, you know, as professionals through the years have figured out that, you know, keeping secrets or doing what was done, you know, for the sake of the child and in that time period to protect the children, like I mentioned, is just no longer what we have learned to be the healthy
mm-hmm.
way.
Sure, because all of that secrecy is what led to shame about who someone is as an individual and where I came from, and there must be something shameful or bad about that. Because
absolutely.
My family wasn't able to be honest about it. So
right.
We want them
to be proud. We want them to be proud and empowered about their story and for them to know that they didn't come from, you know, from something not good. You know, they came from goodness. They came from everybody comes from goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And so absolutely bringing that forward is critical.
Fantastic. How do parents go about this? This is sounding great. You know, we want our children to be healthy and happy and whole and empowered
mm-hmm.
and all of these things. But how do parents do this, talking to their children?
Oh, there's a multitude of ways. And I think the one of the most important things, or the most important thing, is beginning to talk to your children when they're young, as young as possible, starting in infancy. And I know some people may kind of balk at that, but the earlier you can begin to have these conversations within your home and with your children, the more of a greater and stronger foundation this has for the hard conversations that come later in life. So
mm-hmm.
we educate and encourage our families to begin talking when their child is young as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The positive adoption language that families use from the very beginning helps to begin, you know, helps for the child to learn the proper words, you know, the positive words associated with their story. And actually we encourage that as obviously a direct benefit to the child and building that foundation, but it's also very beneficial to the adoptive family. If there's other children in the family, for the parents, you know, the more everybody can talk about it, the more it can be a topic of conversation, the more it can be a comfortable, easy conversation, the better it is for everyone.
Sure. I had an adoptive couple say one time that obviously they began talking in infancy with their child, and they said that they viewed it as their practice time. That was their time.
Yes.
If they made an oops and used the wrong word or it didn't come out just right, you know, they're 2 months old and didn't really quite understand that and hold them
right.
to the fire for that issue. So it is a good time for adoptive parents to really become themselves. Talking loud to their child and working through kind of their practice period, don't you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's huge, and that's so true. And I couldn't have said it better myself. It is. It's a time for everybody to get comfortable, and it's so critical. It's just critical to the journey, you know, to the walking down the road. And as these children develop, emotionally, and as they get older, the conversation changes. And again, that foundation is only, you know, is as strong as what the conversations are. And so we want a strong foundation for those hard conversations to come as they, you know, as they grow and as they learn and as they understand more about what their story means and the pieces to their puzzle and connecting those together. So
one or two of the best pieces of advice that you would give to parents when it comes to talking about adoption?
Oh, I would say being honest. Being honest is probably the utmost thing. If you're not honest, then there's shame associated with that, and there's no shame associated with adoption. So being honest is critical, and being there, just being there, and knowing that, having your children know that you're there to listen, that. As parents, we want to fix all of our kids' problems. We all do, no matter how, you know, that's who we are. But that sometimes isn't the case. We can't fix all the problems. We can't change a backstory. We can't change, you know, some of the hard things that maybe our children come to us with. And if our children know that we're there and that we're listening and we validate their feelings, I think that is a very important piece to this as well.
Right, you're right. And I also wanted to point out for those of you that may be listening right now, there is a great amount of literature on this topic as well to be researched and read and learned about. And for all of our families, it's viewed as a learning process. It's not we went to one class or we read one book and we know what we're doing. It's an ever-evolving thing as our children grow and evolve as well.
I'm still learning. Every day I learn. I'm certainly, yeah, it is. And I think when we stop learning is when there's a big red flag. You know, our kids are continuing to learn, and we have to mold and change with them in a way, you know, and kind of follow their suit in some instances. So absolutely. No, this is it's an evolution for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're talking about honesty being such a key factor with all of this. And so a lot of people want to know, what about the tough stuff? I mean, there are tough questions. There are tough circumstances. And are you telling us to be honest about those, too? How do we handle those things?
And yes, there are hard circumstances. There are definitely going to be tough questions. You know, yes, along with the honesty piece that is critical, we encourage and we teach our families to answer those questions as appropriate developmentally for wherever their child is in this phase. And that's key. And there's a lot of, like you mentioned, there's a lot of literature about specifics. I don't think we have time to really go into that on this call as much as I'd love to. But I think how you handle those questions with toddlers and preschoolers is obviously – you know, the questions that they're going to have are very different than children who are 8, 9, 10, 11 years old who are beginning to put the pieces of the puzzle together. And then again, you know, when children get into adolescence, obviously they're learning more and they're aware of, you know, of many different things. And those questions become more difficult. So it's educating ourselves. It's being aware. It's the more comfortable we are as parents, the more comfortable those conversations are going to be. But being honest and answering the questions as appropriate for their age is key. You can't give the hard stuff to a toddler and expect them to understand it and check the box. It has to be a continual conversation.
Right, and we can't withhold information to a child who's older as well. And I think that topic bears a pause here in the conversation about I think some parents may fall in the trap of waiting until they're asked the question to talk or to give the information, and they're just going to wait. And, you know, I think that generally speaking, by the time the tough question comes, that means that child has been thinking about that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes a lot of courage to ask those tough questions.
Absolutely.
So it's a better place to be if we can be out in front of that, you know.
Absolutely. And not every child will talk, you know, not every child is verbal in sharing their feelings or their questions. So we have to be aware of that as well. There's some children who are very likely thinking things, but just don't have the words or don't have the, you know, just, I don't know, don't have the confidence, don't have the, the willfulness to say something. So it's important that we use techniques to spark the conversation, that we ask the delicate questions to maybe try and open the door a little bit, and reassure them that we're there to listen, reassure them that talking about it is okay, reassure them that, you know, if a child talks about missing their birth family or is curious about their birth mom or birth father, that's absolutely okay. Those feelings are real, and it's not... As adoptive parents, we can't take those questions personally. It's not about us. It's about them and their journey.
Right, and I love those examples that we hear about the conversations that happen in the car, the conversations that happen during hair braiding, or those when there's no eye contact required and it's much less intimidating. I really especially enjoy hearing from families when they talk to us about those sorts of tips. So before we get too far off track here, how can we help families to do this in a way that is respectful to birth parents? Because, you know, we're talking about honesty with sometimes tough matters. What kind of information or thoughts do you have about that?
I think primarily as we can never make derogatory comments or talk negatively about birth parents or heritage or race, you know, nothing in that regard. That is one of the most respectful things that we can do to honor birth parents, and to and that's critical. If we're talking negatively about birth parents or heritage or situation, that child will very likely identify with those negative comments, and then they'll begin to feel like that. And they may very well feel that that's how their family feels about them. And
absolutely.
So it is critical that we are positive, we are appropriate, we are respectful to our birth parents and to the birth stories.
I couldn't agree with you more. This is so important. And I think so much of the conversation and the literature is talking about the importance of open, honest communication. And maybe more attention is needed to this issue. And as you talked about, children also kind of owning and feeling those same things. Well, you know, my mother said this about my birth mother, so that must mean she feels that way about me too. So real important issue there. What about how can we guide families to be aware and cognizant of their own children's feelings and behaviors that might indicate that they're not processing this new information well, or that there may be some triggers that they have that we don't even know about, the parent doesn't know about with the child when it comes to the adoption conversation?
I think it's our job to be in tune to our kids. Obviously, we can't do everything. We're not perfect, and we can't know everything. But I do think that it's, again, it's kind of back to knowledge and understanding that triggers for children and where their grief may come from is different for every child. But it may be their birthday, it may be Mother's Day, it may be Father's Day, it may be Christmas, it may be. Halloween. It could be any holiday. It could be their first day of school, and validating those. And I've even done this myself. And you know, just even on my daughter's birthday, I will simply say, you know, I bet your birth mom is thinking about you today, and I hope you feel the love from her because she did love you. And you know, many years our daughter wouldn't broach the subject with us on her birthday, but I do think it's important to acknowledge her and on that special day as well as it is other times of the year. But I do acknowledge that I think some parents feel like if they bring it up, it's going to trigger some sad reactions or some sad feelings in their children. And I think that's something that we have to be careful that we don't fall back on. If it does trigger those, then I think it's a sign that we need to do some work, you know. And if as parents we don't feel like we're able to give our children the support that they need to get through these feelings, then there's many professionals and there's many resources that we can turn to. And I know here at AAI we you know, routinely offer that if our families are in need or they're seeking that out. And there is no shame in that. That's only doing what you need to do for your child.
Sure. And I like that you pointed out you know, bringing up those special dates and just the way that you talk with your daughter about it is real powerful, I think, and the message that she must get, I imagine, from your words is so important. And again, when we're not talking about it, doesn't mean our child isn't thinking about it. So
absolutely.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that. What about talking to family members about adoption or about your child's particular story, teachers and strangers? I know we hear a lot from our families about encountering different circumstances, and most of the time they just quite weren't prepared for that comment or that question and not sure how to handle it. Give us a little bit of insight or some feedback about how you feel about that.
Absolutely. It would be great if we could be prepared for everything, but reality is we can't. And I think knowing that, it is critical and something that we tell our families over and over and over again. Our children's stories are their private stories. Our children's stories are personal. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they're not. But adoption, as beautiful as it is, starts with a loss. And that is very personal to each and every child. And we educate our families to keep that in mind in any conversation they have with family, with teachers, you know, especially with strangers. But that is one way we can respect our children's story. That's one way we can respect adoption. And when you're approached, and if you are approached with a hard question, that is the time when you need to stay calm, but stay firm. And if if somebody asks a very provocative question, or, you know, not always maliciously intended, often not, but just, you know, based out of, you know, not knowing what else to say, it is completely okay to say, you know what, that story is private and we choose to keep that in our family. And and oftentimes that will send a very clear message and the conversation can be done at that time. But it's a hard piece to this, but it is a super important piece that we remember those stories are private, and those stories need to come from parents, not from Aunt Susie or Uncle Jim by chance, you know, if something is mentioned, or a cousin or a teacher. And no, those stories are private, and they need to come from parents, and they need to be shared in a way that is best for that child. So,
and as children, you know, grow and become older, you know, it is their story, and then asking them how they want to handle those questions and helping them kind of find their way. How would you like to respond to that, or would you like to respond to that, or just respecting and honoring, you know, what your child's wishes become, because that's sort of, if you will, that quote unquote transfer of power a little bit that begins to happen in those preteen adolescent years, where the parent goes from protecting the child to then empowering and enabling them to make those choices about if they want to discuss this or not and with whom and how and all of those issues.
Absolutely. Our daughter used to tell everybody she, you know, where she was born and kind of, you know, very brief kind of her story that she was adopted and very proud of that. We all are. And that was great. But she doesn't do that anymore. And that's a decision she's made. And I'm not even sure if it's a conscious decision. She just, it's not what defines her. And so it's been neat to see that change in her. And we follow her lead. We absolutely follow her lead and what she feels comfortable with. So absolutely.
Sure. And yeah, listening to you talk about, you know, that period of time where she was open and wanting to talk about it and such kind of brings me to something that I was hoping we could wrap up our show with today, is how we can turn this topic of other people's questions into a positive experience. You know, and it sounds like to a degree with your daughter, that may have been the case, that there was a time period in her life where sharing is okay. And I know that there are children who are more inclined to be outgoing and want to chat about adoption every chance they get, and others who want to be more private about it. But do you have anything to kind of add there into how we can make this a positive experience for the family? Because we, again, want to go back to that not feeling shameful issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think one way that we can do that is like with our educators, with our teachers in our school system. I think that's a huge place. We know that our children, as they go through school, their self-esteem and their self-worth, and for good or for bad, is molded and formed through those years and their delicate years. And you know, adoption is such a normal thing these days, but I'm not so sure it's very well understood by everybody. And I think, you know, working in conjunction with our educators and our teachers and being proactive in approaching our children's teachers and kind of, you know, asking them if there's something that we can do to help support them in the classroom, to maybe discuss mm-hmm. adoption to the class. So it is a positive message. It's not something that is, it's not a curiosity that's taken negatively. It's a, mm-hmm. you know, it's a curiosity that they can now understand, you know, because it's been explained. And I often think just being proactive in those situations, mm-hmm. You know, it's huge. And if by chance there's a situation where we're caught off guard and it is difficult, then following up with our kids right after that, you know, kind of doing a little bit of not damage control, but in essence, you know, coming back to that yeah. conversation and making sure it's talked about and spoken about and yeah. And feelings are heard. I think that's just as critical.
Like a little debriefing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. Yep. Very, very good. Okay. I feel like we've covered everything. Anything else that you can think about? Really wonderful information today, Chris.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for having me, and thanks for acknowledging this topic. I think it's so important, and it's just super, super important. So thank you. Thank you for the show, and thanks for having me on. I super appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for everyone listening in, please remember that we are live every Tuesday at 11 o'clock on Adoption Focus. For listeners looking to connect with Adoption Associates, you may do so by calling 800-677-2367. I'll repeat that number one more time, 800-677-2367 for Adoption Associates connection, or on the web at adoptionassociates.net. We do hope that you'll join us next week when we speak with Rob Pleasure, who is a father of six, three of whom were adopted internationally. We're real excited to hear that story and thoughts from him. Thank you so much again, Chris, for today.
Thanks, Jennifer.
For now, this is Jennifer on Adoption Focus. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.